Mercer blitzing Bridgewater. He's going to scramble to the right, fires it late, passes, intercepted in the end zone, and it's intercepted on the near side. A diving catch, Ron Parker. Hot read, goes to Wilson, he's got room to run. 35, 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! The Vikings blitz, and the Chiefs burn him on a wide receiver screen, and the Chiefs are back in the game.
At home or on the road, game day is a journey. Whether through mile high or deep into the black hole,
10-5 touchdown! Houston gets it again.
It always culminates here. This is Chiefs Rewind.
Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Rewind. The Chiefs lose to the Minnesota Vikings 16-10. Mitch Holtis with you along with B.J. Kissel here on the University of Minnesota campus. All right, I'm going to start with three guys. Okay, I got my dander up here a little bit because I started the radio broadcast. Who will make plays to help this team win? Alan Bailey played tough today. Marcus Peters gave them a chance to win. And Travis Kelce, nose busted open, comes back and gave them an opportunity to win. What about those three guys in specific as you kind of get the things, try to get this thing rolling?
It may have been Alan Bailey's best game of his career. In the first half alone, he had seven tackles, three of which came for a loss, had a forced fumble, had the big sack on what looked like a delayed a quarterback sneak from Teddy Bridgewater. But you look at this defense and what they're able to do against running back Adrian Peterson. It's going to get lost in this game. There's a lot of things to talk about in this game, but Adrian Peterson finished with 26 rushes for 60 yards, 2.6 yards per carry. That's the second lowest total of his career. We have at least 25 carries. Unbelievable performance from the whole front seven in general, in my opinion. You look at what these guys are able to do without defensive lineman Dontari Poe on top of it. Mike DeVito leaves early. Alan Bailey, phenomenal job. Travis Kelce, you mentioned it, late in the game, third quarter, had 51 yards receiving in that quarter alone. Second half, more big plays, gave them a chance late in that game.
And Kelce came back twice from injuries, twice to come back on the field. Now, we're going to hear from Albert Wilson later. We'll also talk to Alan Bailey, who's been good ever since St. Joe, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Defensively, though, some third down and long, particularly a third and 15. The Chiefs just scored a touchdown. Yep. Then a third and 15, they get a 30-yard pass.
That was the play of the game to me. That was where all the momentum. The Chiefs looked like they had grabbed some momentum back. But you look even back in the first half, there were some third downs that they found some chunk plays in the first half as well. Those first four drives, they had a 15-yarder, a 14-yarder, and a 52-yard completion. But you look at his defense. Marcus Peters in particular, I mean, Coach Reed just talked to him. I just talked with Marcus. Unbelievable job by him to give the team a chance to win late in the game by making plays.
He competes. He is a winner. Now let's get some more analysis from in our studio with former Chief Dannon Hughes and Chiefs reporter Pete Sweeney.
Thank you, Mitch, and welcome back into the 65 Toss Power Trap Studios in Kansas City. After the Chiefs' 16-10 loss to the Minnesota Vikings, we're going to get into the highlights from the game. The Chiefs heading to Minnesota, they need a victory after four straight losses, but Minnesota is bringing the pressure early. Right here you'll see Eric Kendricks with the sack of Alex Smith, and then a few plays later, Sharif Floyd and Daniel Hunter combined for the sack.
Well, they did a great job pursuing Alex Smith in the first half. They have two sacks. Here is just a little twist stump between the defensive end and the tackle, and they track down Alex Smith, drive him to the turf.
Question all week was, would the Chiefs be able to stop Adrian Peterson? The answer was yes, Dana.
Yes, they did a phenomenal job against the running attack of the Vikings, stepped up to the challenge. They knew they had to stop AP in order to have a chance to win this ballgame.
So the Vikings need to turn to Teddy Bridgewater, and there he finds Kyle Rudolph with a four-yard touchdown, and then it's 10-0 Minnesota headed into the half. Chiefs offense wasn't great in the first half, but they wake up in the second half.
Absolutely, and you know what? They came out of the locker room, guns blazing, trying to throw the ball downfield. There's Travis Kelce, and now, go figure, Alex Smith takes a chance downfield, trusts his receiver, Jeremy Maclin with the acrobatic catch, tries to get things going, and now it's back to Kelce across the middle, and Kelce, and he makes a catch, puts them into scoring position.
The Chiefs cap off that drive with the field goal. It's 13-3, and then the rookie makes a play, his third interception of the year, Marcus Peters.
Well, he's becoming a shutdown corner indeed, exactly what we wanted in that first round pick. He passes off his responsibility of the deep third, reads the eyes of Teddy Bridgewater, jumps the route, gets the turnover. Momentum has shifted to the Chiefs at this point.
Yeah, you're starting to feel like the Chiefs are in this game. They could win this game. You see the Vikings are going to bring a ton of pressure on this play. Perfect play call. They call the screen to Albert Wilson. He takes it 40 2 yards, and it's 13-10 all of a sudden.
Well, this is a great job. Great drawn-up play. Albert Wilson, just a bubble screen, trying to get some blockers out on the perimeter. A nice job, helmet on helmet, and watch the block there by Ben Grubbs. Opens up the door for Albert Wilson and the score.
Chiefs riding the wave of the momentum. Alex Smith finds Travis Kelce, takes it up 37 yards up the sideline, and all of a sudden, they're into Minnesota territory, but a turnover. Watch Sharkhandrick West in this play. Donald Stevenson inadvertently knocks the ball, and it's a fumble.
Unfortunate, very unfortunate for the rushing attack. The Chiefs had opportunity after opportunity, just could not capitalize.
There you see it, 16-10 final. Adrian Peterson, 26 carries for 60 yards. Really frustrating for the Chiefs because they did what they had to do. They stopped Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. When you go into a game, and it's been frustrating for many defensive coordinators to have to go against Adrian Peterson throughout his career, but to go into this game and come out with he having 26 carries for 60 yards, and you consider that's a dismal number for him, but one of those carries were for 23 yards, so the Chiefs really had a concerted effort in getting and rally tackling Adrian Peterson, and he did a phenomenal job, just could not work that into a victory.
All right, Dana, right now we're going to head back to Minneapolis to check in on the Chiefs inside the locker room.
The team is 16 points. Do you kind of feel like it's right in front of you as a defense?
Well, we want to be in the game. On defense, we can only allow ourselves to be in the game. You know, teams are going to score points, but we got to keep the game close for us to have a chance to win.
What happened on that play?
I guess I just wasn't holding on to it. I just say I take our ownership for that.
A teammate knocked it out?
I mean, I don't know. I had to see. If he knocked it out, somebody else knocked it. I got to hold on to it.
When you see the offense driving at the field, you have two chances. What's going through your mind?
Well, you know, we were very optimistic. You know, we felt like we were driving the ball down to go score. You know, Kelce could put that pass. You know, little setbacks here and there, and you know, we just got to take care of the little things, and move on from there.
So, some disappointment in that locker room is going to be expected. A 5-game losing streak, but 3 real chances to win in 3 of those games. The game, of course, against Denver at home. The game last week against Chicago, and this game. The Chiefs had the ball twice, down 6, with an opportunity to take a 17-16 lead. Now, where do the Chiefs go from here as they try to fight back and beat Pittsburgh next week at Arrowhead? We'll find out. We're going to check in with head coach Andy Reid as Chiefs Rewind continues from Minneapolis after this.
Chiefs Rewind is brought to you by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, Live Fearless, the Kansas City Steak Company, Taste, It Matters, and by Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally.
Alex Smith to throw, throwing deep for Macklin. Macklin and Johnson makes the catch down at the Viking 15-yard line and jumps up trying to exhort his teammates.
Five carries, only 60 yards.
Yeah.
How do you accomplish that?
Well, you know, listen, I thought our defense did a good job against the run. He is one of the best in the business, and you know, so they did good. It was really a tale of two halves here. You know, the first half, we stunk it up offensively, and second half, we kind of got it going both sides of the ball, and then a turnover got us there at the end. But, you know, we got to figure out a way to, and that's my job here. I mean, absolutely, my job is to make sure that we're playing like we did the second half, and so you know, that's what we're going to concentrate on this next week.
Injuries are a part of this game, but how are the troops now? Some of them were hurt out there.
Yeah, we had a couple guys that have concussions. Macklin got one, and DeVito got one, so they'll work through that. The protocol that it takes to going forward here, and we'll just see how they do. But you know, even without those players, and they're good players, we're able to function at a high level. unfortunately, this game is determined by touchdowns, and we didn't finish the job here. We had a nice long catch by Kelsey, and then we came back and had the turnover. So we got to make sure we fix that. And we do that, and we got a pretty good football team, but we got to do it.
How about you?
I need to pick my game up, man, just like everybody else. But it starts with me. I take full responsibility for it, and we got to get this thing turned around.
Well, it's not going to get any easier, is it? Pittsburgh coming to town, yeah. And then you're going to go to England.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Well, we'll take all comers. I mean, we don't care. We just need to play better.
Good luck next week.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
The thing that stuck out to me in that interview is the tale of two halves, and that extends even to quarterback Alex Smith. He only had 43 yards passing in the first half, but he really turned it on in the second half.
Absolutely. I think when you consider over the landscape of this season, Pete, Alex Smith has had some good games, and the Bengals and a loss, obviously, and today I think were his best. And part of the reason was he took some chances downfield. You get tired of seeing the east-west passing game. He threw the ball vertically, got some plays, got some blocking downfield, and had the big touchdown to Albert Wilson. So to me, the first half, he got hit twice, he had two sacks, but then they kept him clean in the second half, and that is when he was more efficient, made some big play after big play, put the Chiefs in prime position to come away with the victory. They just could not get it on the board.
That 22 for 37, 282 yards passing, one touchdown, the two carries and 10 yards on the ground for 16.28 points makes Alex Smith our DraftKings Fantasy Performer of the Game. Remember, the Fantasy Performer of the Game is sponsored by DraftKings. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the code Chiefs to play for free today. When we come back, BJ and Mitch are in Minneapolis with wide receiver Albert Wilson. Don't go away.
Comes a blitz. Hot read. Goes to Wilson. He's got room to run. 35, 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! And the Chiefs burn him on a wide receiver screen.
Welcome back to Chiefs Rewind. Again on the Minnesota campus today, the Chiefs lose to the Vikings 16-10. Though with us is Albert Wilson. And Albert, back out there, back in the flow. What was that like? Particularly when Macklin went down, knowing you had to step up.
First of all, it's just a blessing that I had the opportunity to get back out there. I'd like to thank the training staff, first of all, to get me back out there. But once I got out there, it was just knew what time it was to step up and just try to take advantage of every opportunity that I had.
Howard, I want to ask about the 42-yard touchdown because it's 3rd and 10, big situation in the game. As soon as they call that play, you know the ball's coming to you, it's coming to you quick, and you've got to get upfield and get some yards. Just what was going through your mind when they called that play and you went out there and got the ball in your hands?
Just one of the opportunities that I had to take advantage of. And, first of all, I think it was a great play call first. And the outside guys, the perimeter, they did a great job of securing the catch. And once you get your big guys up to the second level, pretty much it turns out to be a pretty good play.
Now, where do you go from here, Albert? The fact that don't know if J-Mac will play next year or not, or next week or not. But where do you guys go? Let's start with the wide receiving core because that's a young group. Where do you go from here?
Myself, I just know I have to turn up a notch just to first of all give myself a better chance, but give the team another better chance. And Chris, he had a couple starts the last couple weeks, and I think he's ready. So we're young, but I think we're going to go out there and compete.
After the game, when Coach spoke to you guys in the locker room, just what was his message to the team moving forward?
That pretty much the X and O's we are executing. We just have to do small things like the penalties, and we can't just keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Late game situation, a couple of opportunities there. Two different possessions, down 6 with the ball. What happened there and what didn't happen there as you work on your career, particularly in the 2-minute offense?
Just got to come up with the catch. I had two opportunities back-to-back, and that's what I was speaking of earlier. You just got to come up with the catch. If it's a short ball, long ball, high or low, I got to come up with it.
So Albert Wilson with his first career touchdown, a big day for him. Another big day was for tight end Travis Kelce.
Well, Travis Kelce stepped up. We've been waiting all season long, and we saw glimpses early on. But for the last couple of weeks, he's been battling some injuries. This game, he got his helmet got knocked down, messed up his nose, but he got refocused and made some big plays down the stretch to get the offense going.
You see that fire from Travis Kelce. What does that mean to a team?
You know what? Travis Kelce, this is his personality. It's not manufactured. manufactured. It's not made up. He is a guy that's going to be fiery on the field, and that can be contagious, especially in volatile situations and situations when you're down and you need to score. You need somebody to step up, somebody to be vocal in the huddle and making plays as well, and Travis Kelce is willing to take on that burden. I like his attitude.
All right, Dana, right now we're going to go back outside the locker room where Mitch is with defensive lineman Alan Bailey.
Hey, I started the show with this, looking for guys who will stand up and make plays, and Alan Bailey did that the whole game. It seemed like didn't matter what the score was, you were flat getting after it. Talk about your game today.
I mean, this is a D-line. We practice all week to just get after it, no matter the circumstances, just control what we can't control up front. And, like, the defense go out off we play. If we playing great, then hold back, he's going to play great, too.
A.B., one of the big things today was keeping Adrian Peterson corralled. That's easier said than done, but you did it all day except one run. What was the key in holding him in check?
Getting players to the ball, because he runs hard and he's a shifty back. He runs strong. So, I mean, that's just our point all week, practice on that, to get him right to the ball and tackle him.
Today it was an issue on third down, kind of let them off the hook a little bit. A third and 15, they get 30, rush three. What about kind of letting them slither away on that?
I mean, I hurt Student and the penalty got on third down one time, too. So just shooting ourselves in the foot a couple times, I always hurt. But we got practice on cutting the penalties down to none.
You've had a great start to this season, losing five straight games. I know you're all about the team. But it just seems like, kind of to comment on your game personally and where you keep to fight week to week to week.
I mean, I've been working with Brent Reed since they got here, and I work every day after practice with him and just keep on adding to my game and just keep on playing hard.
Where do you go from here now as a defense? Because now you're going to go up against Pittsburgh. Where do you start?
Up front, like I always start. You got to control Bell and go from there.
You have to like his attitude, even with the fifth loss in a row. And the defense as a whole had a really good day, and starts with Bailey, and then you move to the back to the second level, and you see Justin Houston had a great day as well.
Absolutely. Justin Houston, obviously we're used to seeing highlights from Justin Houston tracking down quarterbacks and making big plays. He was key in the pass game as well, had two pass deflections, also had a sack as well. So not just the one-dimensional player that people want to make him to be, he is a total playmaker for this defense. They needed his output today.
He had his fourth sack of the season today, and the sacks make a difference. What can a team get from a sack?
Well, you know what? It's all about field position. It's all about momentum, and having somebody like Justin Houston that can change the way a game is going with one snap, to be able to track down a quarterback, to sack and rip away the ball, maybe change the momentum, get the offense some good field position, that's key. And everyone looks to see when the huddle breaks on offense, you want to see where number 50 is if you're on that offense and try to stop him. But when he's making plays, when you know he's going to make those plays, that's when it infects the entire team, and that's where the Chiefs can thrive.
All right, well, right now we're going to close things down in the studio. When we come back, we'll head out to Minneapolis, where BJ and Mitch will provide their final thoughts. Please stay with us.
Chiefs Rewind is brought to you by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Live fearless. The Kansas City Steak Company. Taste. It matters. And by Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally.
So Chiefs lose 16-10 to the Minnesota Vikings. We close things out here from Minneapolis. Sharkhandrick West, I want to ask you about him because he gets thrust into the action with Jamal Charles out. He and Davis, what about the running back position in this game?
Yeah, that was the storyline coming into the game. It's who was going to take the carries. I'll see Anthony Thomas get a carry. We saw Anthony Sherman get a carry, mixing up, doing some different things. But, I mean, Sharkhandrick, we've seen him every day. We know how hard he works. He was a part of two key plays in this game. One, we know the fumble in the fourth quarter after the 37-yarder to Travis Kelce, one of the key plays in this game. Talked to him in the locker room after the game and basically said you can't do that in a big situation. He wants to be held accountable because he did fumble the ball. But, you know, the other play that he was involved in that was ended up being a difference maker in this game is that fourth and one carry.
Yeah.
Coach Reed said after the game that he wasn't down, but they blew the whistle. You can't review that.
Everybody it's not challengeable. Knew
it. No. Not challengeable. Everybody knew it. That was a key play in the game, and I think that goes our way. It's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, so the running backs and the entire team, we'll end it the way we began it. Who's going to step up and make plays? We already mentioned some guys throughout the broadcast who made winning plays in this game. Now the entire team needs to follow suit and try to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers next week at Arrowhead. For BJ Kissel, I'm Mitch Holtis. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Rewind.
Chiefs football, Chiefs access, Chiefs insight that you can't find anywhere else.
How about those Chiefs, baby?
Here on your home of the Chiefs,